Just a few words of introduction. You're now looking at the Church's teaching over the centuries on the angels. To keep in mind, and please don't forget, the Fourth Lateran Council, 1215. Fourth Lateran Council, 1215. Is the most important council for teaching the defined, infallible doctrine on the angels. And the reason for that was that there was a heresy which began way back in the 3rd century, as we've said, called Manichaeism, which in effect claimed there are two gods, a good God who created everything spiritual, and an evil God who created everything material. As a consequence, the angels, by Manichaean definitions, were created, well, by the good God. However, what then do we say about the bad angels? According to the Manichaeans, all the evil in the world is due to conflict between matter and spirit. The Council, as we've explained in our last class, made it clear that all the angels were originally created by God, and only one God. Those who remain faithful to God remain, as we call them, good angels. The others became demons. I cannot overemphasize how the created will makes demons. Am I clear? It's the created will that makes demons. Makes demons of the angels and makes demons of human beings. Under, as we can surely say, the influence of the evil spirit. Since 1973, since our Supreme Court legalized abortion, in my speaking, in my writing, I've never budged an inch from saying the abortion movement is instigated, controlled, and promoted by the evil spirit. Then Christ says the devil was a murderer from the beginning. Well, he's a murderer still. The massive murderer, and the lowest figures I think I've told you, 65 million, the lowest figure, of legalized abortions throughout the world every year is the work of the devil. Millions of people are possessed by the devil, and some in high places in political power. I'm not giving you poetry. This is our faith. Now we continue. What is the teaching of the First Vatican Council? It repeats, as we've said, the teaching of the Fourth Lateran, but clarifies certain points. It states, and the whole thing is a definition. in order to manifest his perfection to the benefits which he bestows on creatures, not to intensify his own happiness, nor to acquire any perfection. This one and only true God, by his goodness and almighty power, and by a completely free decision, from the very beginning of time, has created both orders of creatures in the same way out of nothing. The spiritual or angelic world and the corporeal or visible universe. So, the angels are, he called them pure spirits. Why pure? Because there was nothing material. And please remember what we mean by material. Material means extended in space. Material means quantified. Material means has size, shape, color, weight, texture. And above all, material means that which can be perceived by the senses. And I think I've told you, our English vocabulary is just penetrated with all kinds of non-Catholic terms. We see that something is nonsense. If it cannot be perceived by the senses, it is nonsense. On these terms, the angels are nonsense. Our souls, that's nonsense. And in some translations of the Bible, especially the New Testament, almost never find the word soul. Watch it. Because as believers we distinguish between the soul, which is not material, but spiritual. And the spiritual, in contrast, is that which is real. In fact, what is spiritual is the primary reality. Why? Because God is the uncreated pure spirit. Except for God, there would be no bodies in the world, no mountains, no seas, no ground, no sun, moon, or stars. In other words, the primary reality is not perceptible to the senses. Why don't you dare say it is nonsense? Oh, we need, believe you me, a lot of education. And finally, the First Vatican Council tells us, afterwards, having created the angels and the visible world of space and time, then he formed the creature man, who in a way belongs to both orders, as he is composed of both spirit and body. Spirit is that which leaves us when our body dies. Never say, I keep repeating to one audience after another, never say, when we die. We never die. Our souls are eternal. Our bodies die. How do they die? By the soul or spirit leaving the body. Question 54. What did the Second Vatican Council in 1964 teach about the angels? Many things, but among the statements that are worth quoting, we are told, the Church has always believed that the apostles and Christ's martyrs, who gave the supreme richness of faith and charity by the shedding of their blood, are closely united with the Blessed Virgin Mary and the holy angels with a special love, and is asked piously for the help of their intercessor. As you know, on Wednesdays, I've been giving teleconferences and all on the angels. Here I am with classes in Dallas, Texas. Spent 8 days, a retreat exclusively on the angels. And the manuscript is, well, ready for publication. And one reason, the main reason, as I look around the world in which I'm living, so preoccupied with material things, I say to myself, somebody had better wake us up. I would say without hesitation, we're only as Catholic as we believe in and are devoted to the angels. And I mark every word that I just said. You read the literature of the 12th, 13th, 14th centuries, you may be shocked and the amount of attention Catholics then pay to the angels. As I think we've said, Thomas Aquinas, tens of thousands of words in the Summa Theologica on the angels. And among the cruel jokes that smart alecks in today's society make while the church in those years. Catholics were so silly. They even talk about how many angels could dance on the tip of a pin. There's no limit to the number of angels because they do not have a body. Our very word, nobody. I hope I'm clear. Nobody is one who does not have a body. My Lord. Does the Holy Trinity have a body? Is the Holy Trinity nobody? Am I making sense? Our whole vocabulary just penetrated with materialism. Question 55. What then can we say is the summary of the Church's teaching on the existence of the angels? Notice this part. We were just looking at the Church's teaching to make sure we have no illusions. It's not piety. It's not poetry. It's not rhetoric. It is officially, infallibly defined teaching of the Roman Catholic Church. To summarize it, this teaching tells us now, the angels did not always exist. They had to be created by God out of nothing by His almighty loving power. They were created before the human race. They were all created good. Some of the angels fell from the divine friendship by their disobedience and became demons. Everyone hear it. Everyone who refuses to submit to God's will becomes a demon. And the two kinds of demons, those who have no bodies, and those who have bodies. What a rude awakening millions will have when they enter eternity. All of us, every single one of us, will die in our bodies. Everyone. Die and decay. What a difference between believing that there is a world of spirit, which is what we are in our souls, and the angels, and either denying or even doubting. Now, what does sacred scripture say about the angels? The pages of scripture from Genesis to the Apocalypse are a tissue of testimony to the existence of angels. You might, if you wish, sometimes look up a concordance of the Bible. You know what a concordance is? Lists my name, well, the word. Where does that word occur in the Bible? And you know, some words like God, just page after page. I think you'll be shocked to see the hundreds and hundreds of references to the angels in the Bible. From the first to the last book of sacred scripture. Belief in the angels permeates the entire Old Testament. That cherubim are present in paradise after the fall of our first parents and receive the commission to watch over the garden of God. In the company of the angels, or two angels, Yahweh appeared to Abraham at the Terebinth of Mamre. Angels then went on to Sodom. You know what happened in Sodom, and is happening in the United States. I think I told you I was in Haiti about a month ago. A dying nation. And one of the main reasons is the widespread AIDS epidemic, especially among children. Angels appeared to Jacob were also prominent in the lives and writings of the prophets, sacred writers in the period after the exile. At the time of Christ, only the Sadducees denied the existence of angels. Specifically, the scriptures give us illustrative evidence of all the principle that should be PAL phases of angelic existence. That is why, as I think I've told you, they're Protestants. They're waking up. And blink their eyes. Oh my gosh. The Bible has all kinds of angels. Well, the poor dears, pray for the Protestants. We've said this, haven't we? Billy Graham just published his second book on the angels. But, oh, pray for him. He still does not believe that you can pray to the angels. Are the angels in Scripture intelligent and substantial beings? Yes. The Bible describes the angels as dealing with human beings in the manner of men, that is, as intelligent persons. Angels communicate with human persons. Who was the most important human person who engaged in conversation with an angel?
Mary.
And I cannot recommend a better way of imitating Our Lady than how to hold conversation with angels. Angels communicate with human persons, who in turn communicate with the angels. Over the years, brought up by a believing mother, from infancy, angels were just a very important part of my life. You talk to the angels, your own guardian angel, engage in conversation, in writing manuscripts. I couldn't have begun to write without, pardon me, angelic help. Question 57. What are some of the ministries of the angels in the Bible? In other words, what do they do? There is no limit to the variety of ways in which angels minister to the needs of human beings. They speak to people. They correct those who are doing wrong. The good angels lead people to serve God faithfully. This, by the way, is bedrock Ignatian spirituality. Over the years, you just don't give a retreat based on the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius without having the angels from beginning to end. Ignatius brings all that I think I've mentioned before. In God's ordinary providence, God uses the angels to enlighten our minds. Then the devils seduce many to sin, or try to. Angels instruct people's minds, apostrophe. They announce important events, like the birth of Christ in Bethlehem. They admonish and minister to human needs. And all the while, they are in the presence of God, whom they never cease to adore. And that is, as over the years I've taught people, is the principal lesson the angels teach us. They are always in union with God, deeply immersed in prayerful communication with the Almighty. At the same time, they are busy working. They are angels because they are sent by God to do work. And I cannot tell you what is more important in this world than to be simultaneously united deeply with God and be busy working. I pick up the telephone, so I hear the voice. I don't just start thinking, I start praying. Now obviously, I don't pray out loud. Am I making sense? And that's the angels. They're always, always united with God in prayer. Always. And at the same time, are constantly ministering to our needs. That's why, remember St. Benedict's famous motto, I like the Latin, ora et labora. Those are imperatives. Pray and work. And then you pray. And then you stop praying and then you go on and do some work. No. You pray while you're working. As I say, you work while you pray. I think I've said over the years, most of my manuscripts are written before the Blessed Sacrament. Just makes sense. One is a classic statement of Christ about the angels. I repeat, this is classic because our teaching as we realize is based, of course, on God's revelation, but especially on what Christ taught us. In context, Christ is warning his followers about giving scandal. And he adds, speaking of children, quote our Lord, see that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that the angels in heaven always behold the face of my Father in heaven. These children's angels are always united with God, at the same time guarding and guiding the children. And this again is where our Lord more than once, in fact the same context, tells us as we become like little children, we will not even reach heaven. And the key word there is become. We grow up, so to speak. We grow up in size and weight. We go to school, we think we are growing up in knowledge. Maybe we are. But the great danger, how well I know, is that as we grow up, whether physically or intellectually, that we creep, what shall I say, growing down. Growing down in our pride. And 48 years in the priesthood have taught me an awful lot. That's spelled A-W-E, next word, F-U-L-L. The principal manifestation of pride is I don't need help. I can do it by myself. I have watched little children so I can give, well, lecture about them or put some of these things into print. I watch them. They're just learning how to walk. They already have their own will. So the mother lets go of the child. And the child wiggles, wants to, doesn't want to be helped. Oh, how wonderful. And the child collapses, falls over. Great. What is Christ telling us? We've got to grow up in our humility or grow down in our pride. By becoming like children who need help. Need help. My gosh. Without our mothers, none of us would even be here. And among the helps that we need, and this is our context, we need the angels. Whatever you can do to promote knowledge of and devotion to the angels, you'll be blessed by God in your own life and the lives of others. Number 60. One is the biblical distinction between angels and human beings. The scriptures tell us that angels are different from men. Nowadays, you've got to watch your English. You don't use the word man or men. Do you know that?
Father, you skipped 59.
Unless you absolutely have to. For example, when I sent the manuscript for the Modern Catholic Dictionary to Doubleday, they allowed the manuscript for months. I had a contract, so I was sure of publication. Then they got a long list. I'm not exaggerating. 2,000 changes they want in the dictionary. Some feminists went over the manuscript. You can't imagine what they did to the manuscript. I had a statement. God created angels and men. The editors changed it. God created angels and persons.
Oh,
gosh. Yeah, though angels are not persons. How dumb can you be? So I always make sure I have a contract, legal contract, before I write the manuscript. I rolled back and said, look, I made as many changes as I could to correct. So, although invisible to bodily senses, by nature, they may become visible to human beings. And the angels do become visible to human beings. And hear it. I will not identify. He's a famous scholar. Oh, he's got all kinds of books to his credit. We were in conversation, he and I, one day, about the Annunciation. And something that he wrote may be suspicious. He happened to be lecturing in the same place. So I asked him, about the Annunciation, what do you think happened about the Annunciation? Oh, Our Lady had a dream. She dreamt that an angel was talking to her and told her she would become the mother of the Most High. I said, thanks. Every chance I get, I will not identify this scholar. I tell people not to read his books. Question 41.
Whose books should not we read?
Well, look, I like to practice charity. He's well known. In many ways, he's very orthodox. I'd rather not, if you don't mind. I just know too much about too many people. Question 61. Is there any distinction of gender among the angels? Oh, is this very important? No. There should be an exclamation mark. I'm exaggerating. No. As Christ foretold regarding the final resurrection of the dead. Speaking of risen human beings, our Lord says, at the resurrection, you'll all neither marry nor, should be nor, be given in marriage, but will be as the angels of God in heaven. Oh, how important that is. Oh, how important that is, especially for you married people. I've counseled too many young people over the years. I think I've told you at Western Michigan University, where I taught for 5 years. Fellas dating girls, planning to marry them. They had me first interview the girl. A day or so later, they'd come in and say, "Well, Father, what do you think of her?" "Well, I think she's very attractive in body, but I'm not sure she's all that beautiful in spirit." "What do you mean?" Well, then I would tell them, "Look, you would want to marry a human being, and she better have both, well, shall I say, a nice body, but she better especially have a nice soul." And that's what our Lord is talking about. In other words, there are just so many, God knows how many human beings will come into existence. And that's it. No more. No more marriage. No more conceptions. No more births in heaven. That's it. But, and hear it, after the resurrection, our bodies will take on many of the qualities that now belong exclusively to the soul. Why don't we have those properties now? Because our souls do not yet see the face of God. Once the soul sees the face of God, it does wonders to the body. Like what? A body can move with a swiftness of thought. Isn't that great? Two things I'm sure they don't have in heaven. No telephones and no airplanes. Oh, joy. That's the angels, the way they communicate. All they have to do is want to communicate a thought with somebody else. They don't have to open the mouth, which they don't have. Then, by the way, reminds me, before we open our mouth and speak, pardon me, we should think. And know what we're going to say. The essence of communication of thought is the will commanding the mind to communicate its thoughts to another mind. Question 62. Are the angels exempt from the ordinary physical laws of gravity? Yes. The angels cannot fall and, say, hurt their legs or break their neck. The angels are exempt from the ordinary physical laws of gravity and impenetrability. Because they have nothing material or quantitative in their nature. The laws of gravity and impenetrability do not affect spiritual beings. In other words, doors or walls don't mean a thing to the angels. They walk right through. And that's what Christ did, remember? After his resurrection. But I want to make sure we're not talking fancy. We're not talking hyperbole. We're not talking some kind of imagination. And we in our country, And I use these words deliberately. We are intoxicated, intoxicated with materialism. And over the years, in teaching so many people from other countries, what a difference. For example, people from Africa or Asia, I see my own Jesuits, and those from America. Whatever verb I use would not be an exaggeration. You're so materially minded. So this is the only reality. Oh. Question 63. How are the angels superior to human beings? They are superior to human beings because they are pure spirits with nothing material or quantitative or sensibly perceptible in their constitution. They have no bodies, but they are not nobodies. Am I clear? I can repeat, I can give you 100 English words, each one of which is materialistic. Just. Our brains have been shaped by materialism. Unlike us, the angels do not depend on a body to either acquire ideas or communicate ideas to others. Is that very important? Can we human beings get any ideas? Can we have even a single thought unless we had a body? No, not we. I may have at least mentioned this before. Let me stress it here. All our ideas, all of them, with no exception, begin with sense perception. I'm not sure what I can do. I can't carry this with me and be over there. Do some of you remember what I call the iron law of destiny? Maybe just put the letters on the board and then explain them.
Sorry, Father.
S leads to T. T leads to D. D leads to A. A leads to H. H leads to C, and C leads to D. What are we saying? D at the other end is our destiny. Destiny. That's destiny. In other words, where we are going when our body dies. The most important question we can ask ourselves. Where will I be when my body dies? And we better know what we're talking about. We're going to be, when our body dies, where and how we've used our senses. Everything. Heaven or hell depend on how we use our senses. You've got a pair of eyes. What do we look at? You've got a pair of ears. What do we hear? We have lips. What do we taste? We have hands. What do we feel? We have nostrils. What do we smell? There is no way, unlike the angels, there is no way any human being can acquire thoughts. These are thoughts. Oh, God can work a miracle. But he'd have to work a miracle. But we cannot have any thought.